Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, guys. This is Cindy Moore and Lisa Asbell. We appreciate all our followers and the people that are keeping up with what we have going on to make your life greater. And today, Lisa and I got up thinking about, you know, thoughts are things, and what does that mean for us? So I'm going to, for those of you who don't know us, Lisa and I, we've been lifelong friends since she stole my boyfriend when we were 15. He turned out to be a horrible kisser, and we both got done with him. But anyway, we're still the best of friends today. We've hit the big 5-0, 51. I won't even lie about it anymore. I used to lie about it a lot. But we're in our 50s now. We're thinking about life a lot different than we used to back in the day. And so today we're going to talk about, can you really change and do things different at our age? And can you teach an old dog new tricks? And so Lisa's she's enlightened me today on some things that I'm very excited to hear about. So Lisa, I'm going to turn it over to you, and we're going to talk about, you know, what is mind over matter, and tell us what that means.
Hey, Cindy. I miss you, boo.
I miss you too, boo-boo.
I feel like we only live 5 hours apart, that we get to see each other very infrequently, but we talk every day on the phone, and thank God for Skype and Facebook and FaceTime and all those things. So we're
all this modern technology, I know.
Yeah, and that's the reason I got married, just so you couldn't steal anybody from me, because of us stealing boyfriends back and forth. I figured it'd be harder for you to steal a husband than a boyfriend.
That's true.
And that's worked out pretty good for me so far. So,
but yeah, 20 years later, yeah.
Right. I want to say a couple of other things, too, in the introduction about Cindy and I. We have been friends for a very, very long time. Many of the things we've lived kind of have been parallel, you know, same lives, children the same age. We both have, you know, more than one child. We are nearly the same age. Cindy is, I will say, 7 or 8 months older than me, which is very important to note. We both have been successful career women. We both are motivated every day to get up and touch lives and help people in some way. We both are wild and crazy, and if you knew how wild and crazy that we are, you wouldn't even believe it. People that
you really
want
to hang out with us. Everybody wants to hang out.
You would want to hang out with us.
Anywhere we go, they wrote a song about this.
I had 20,000 listeners to this show at one time, and just life took me down a different direction for a few years, and I want to get back to those listeners, and wanted to include Cindy on that, because we really are aligned when it comes to using our God-given gifts and personalities and drive and motivation to really help people who are in a different place. And this morning we were talking about the show and what we're going to do, and I never want this show to kind of drag on and on. I want it to be short and fun and fast, but give you some really great nuggets to walk away with. One of the things we were talking about today, and I always like to talk about, is goal setting and how we can achieve the things that we want. And what about those things when, as you get 30, 40, 50, that you've always wanted to do and you weren't able to do, or you don't, maybe you have this one thing that holds you back. So one of my struggles, and Cindy and I have talked about this a lot, is I've struggled really with weight most of my life. You know, some people may struggle with not having drive or direction or not being able to set goals. They may struggle with relationships. They may struggle with other kind of addictions like alcohol or any other kind of addiction. But one of the ones that has been really a struggle for me is just losing weight, keeping it off, and staying on track with really who I want to be. And that's really what we started talking about this morning.
Yeah.
And I was telling her about some reading and research, even coaches. I have been a life coach, a business coach to people. Cindy certainly has been a motivational coach to many, many people. And one of the things that I've said about myself many times is I'm not that much different than other people. I'm just curious. Passionately curious about a lot of things. And I've always been curious about how the mind works. So when we talk about setting goals, Cindy, and how we do that, you know, it's pretty easy to say, okay, I want to get up, you know, this year I'd like to lose 5 pounds, or this year, you know, I'd like to make an additional $5,000, or this year I'd like to, you know, not drink as many sodas, or maybe, you know, if you really like wine, I'm going to not drink, you know, but maybe 1 or 2 glasses of wine a week instead of 6 or 10 or 40. That's not my problem, but, you know, that might be just, you know, some of those I'm kind of making light of it, but I don't mean to be offensive. But, you know, in just a way of some things that we all set goals for. And then as we were talking about that this morning, I said to Cindy, yeah, there's more to it. It starts with the basics. And then she said the words mind over matter.
Yep.
And I said, it's very funny that you should say those words, because the truth is, before we can set goals, have anything, what makes thoughts become things, before you can even get into the philosophies of all of that, you have to really realize the way our brain works. And I have myself, coaches hire coaches, good coaches
yes,
hire coaches.
We do.
And I have hired a coach to help me with some of these things. And one of the topics about thoughts are things and mind over matter, as Cindy said it, and she almost read my mind, was that when you hear that, that saying comes from your mind being your prefrontal cortex, or what some would term your high brain, right? That's the essence of who Lisa is, who Cindy is, who Fred is, who Tom is. That's the essence of who we are. So when you think about who you are, when you're just sitting there and it's quiet and you're contemplating or reflecting on your past, or you're dreaming of your future, of things you'd really like to accomplish, goals you'd like to set, things you might really want to change that you feel like have bothered you, and you were to start listing those things out, that is you in your high mind, or in, you know, we might would say your right mind, but that is the mind. The matter is that lower brain, or that lower part, and there are multiple parts of the brain, and I'm certainly not any type of neuro doctor, but there are many, many types, and you know, of different lobes and cortexes and the cerebellum and all these different parts of the brain. But if we just break it down into two parts, you have that high brain and that low brain. The
right.
High brain is the essence of who you are when you sit and when you listen and when you reflect and you write the goals of what you'd really like to accomplish. That low brain is that that primitive part of you that wants to keep you set in your ways, that when you try to break a habit, you keep going back to it.
It's almost as simple as that little angel and that little devil on your shoulder, right?
It is, Cindy. It is, but people that aren't spiritual, you and I are both spiritual, you and I are both Christian, but people that sometimes can't relate to that, just like sometimes Christians can't relate to the ego. So when I say the ego, people don't relate to that, right? They think of the angel and the devil, you know, that God wants you to do one thing and the devil wants you to do another. But it is very similar, right? So
very
in
similar.
Our right mind, as spiritual people, we would know we're not going to talk about the way Sally looks, or we can't believe what she wore, bless her heart, right?
Right.
But then in that primitive brain, or that low brain, or that devil, if you will, we then have those thoughts about things, or we then, you know, do that thing that we got up this morning and said, I am not going to drink 3 cups of coffee today. That much caffeine cannot be good for me. I'm going to cut back to 1. And you have that first cup of coffee and it's so good and you feel kind of sluggish. And the next thing you know, you're heading for the coffee maker to pour that second cup. And that urge, because it is just your habit, that is that lower brain, because remember that higher part said, no, it's not good for me. And so in my coaching session this week with this brilliant, brilliant young girl who has really is doing some remarkable work in the area of food and food addiction and pathways to the brain, we had some really great talks about that mind over matter thing yesterday. And that is really kind of what sparked me and Cindy talking about it this morning, is that if people really want to set goals and they really want to change, they have to understand thoughts become things. But even before that, they have to understand the way our brain works, and we think it's the way God made us. God made us to have all of these parts of the brain because we need some of those habits that we have, right? Because some of those are good habits. It's a good habit when you change and you start going to the gym, and it takes you a while to rewire your brain to go, no, I know that I'm going to have that urge not to go, but in my high brain, I know it's the right thing to do for my health.
Well,
and
we can just get addicted to those great things like we got addicted to those bad things.
Right. It's just rewiring your brain.
Yes.
And so
yes.
it's not that the low brain is not useful, and it's not that it's not helpful. It's very helpful. But the problem is that many times it's a sabotage, because whatever we've created and those pathways for those habits all of those years, and, you know, my coach was saying yesterday, it's not 21 days to retrain your brain. It's not 21 days to create actually a whole new neural pathway. When you
right.
have a habit for 30 years, it may take you a year to retrain your brain.
You can change your whole personality. And
well,
I believe that.
You actually can. You cannot change the essence of who you are, right? So the essence of who Cindy is and who I am, that's who we are. We are going to be fun people. We're going to be funny people. We're going to make jokes and be the center of attention. Now, we can stop that urge on that day if we're, let's say, at the inauguration, or let's say at a, in church, and we want
yeah.
to kind of tone down and be PG instead of PG-17, if there's such a thing. We can actually control those urges, but we can't change the essence of who we are and who God made us to be. But we can change those unhealthy habits. We can change some of the thoughts that we had. I was explaining this to a friend last night, and we were talking about the thing that most women talk about over and over with weight, and I was trying to explain this to her. And I'm going to tell you, Cindy, I have a real passion for people to grasp this. I'm telling you, I have such a passion for people to grasp, especially, and it seems to be a lot of people that are believers, right, or spiritual
right.
or Christians,
right.
that they think, well, this is just, you know, if it's not in the Bible, well, it is in the Bible, because even the Bible talks about letting your thoughts be on good things. Think on those things that are
yes.
pleasant. Think on those things that are of good report, right?
Yes.
So it is in the Bible. It is the way God made us. And that if we continue to think about things and speak things into the universe, they do come about. So
yes.
if you've always struggled with money and you say things like, well, I guess I'll just always struggle with money. I remember one time my daddy saying, if God had intended me to be a millionaire, I would be. And, I mean, I really thought, man, was I switched at birth? Because I actually think the absolute opposite. I believe if God puts it in your heart and in your head that you're supposed to have more, do more, be more, even though money is certainly doesn't make people happy. Hollywood's proof of that. But if that's a goal or a dream that you really have and you want to do good with it, then no, God just doesn't deposit $1 million in your bank.
You got to go
and
get
so
it.
That right, you have to go get it. And that comes back to philosophy and broken philosophy.
Right.
You know, and I don't really want to go down that path, and maybe we'll talk about that on the next show. But today I just wanted for you to kind of grasp a concept of your brain having all of these parts, but the things that are most important for you if you're trying to set goals or you're trying to stop a habit that you really don't like that you have. I don't like that I feel the urge to eat when I'm not hungry. I don't like that I love sweets. And, you know, I don't like that I don't go to the gym like I should or that I don't work out. So if you really have those things that you feel like are weighing on you that are habits or a lack of a habit, I'm here to tell you it truly, like Cindy said this morning so brilliantly, is mind over matter.
Yeah, what can our audience to do? Tell us, Lisa, what can someone do to change their thinking?
Okay.
What can we do?
All of this is new for me, right? So I'm just learning, and I'm going to give you some tips, I guess, on that. The first thing is that let's just talk about one area. Let's just talk about health, okay? So whether it's going to the gym or losing weight or not smoking or not drinking excessively, whichever you want to go for it with.
Whatever your addiction is, right, right.
Whatever it is, okay? And maybe it is not even an addiction. It's just that that's one thing that's holding you back that you'd like to change. The first thing that you'd have to realize is you have to separate who Lisa is when she sits down in her high brain, right?
Right.
In my prefrontal cortex, my high part of my brain, that's who I really am. That's where I write all the things of is that I do want to get my reality show off the ground. I would like to lose weight. I do want to be healthy. I do want to go to the gym, all of those things. anything that enters your brain, which is your low brain or your matter, that doesn't align with that is what my friend Catherine calls neurological junk.
Yes.
It's not really you. It's just those thoughts that you currently have. She gave me the analogy yesterday of somebody she's coaching that says she feels like her urge to eat or her overeating, compulsive overeating, is like an elephant in the room. And then it just never leaves, that it's always there. And then she makes the point of what's wrong with the elephant in the room.
I mean, do you get rid of it?
If you ignore it long enough, it's going to go away.
You don't make the elephant go away?
Right, right. So even if it doesn't go away, just continue to go about your day and do your thing. It doesn't matter, right? Continue with what you wanted to do in your high brain or in who the essence of who you really are with those good habits. And don't worry about that. So I thought that was a brilliant thing. So the first step would be just realizing that it's neurological junk, that it's not really you because you know what you want, and you don't have to turn it off. You don't have to run from it. You just accept it. Like, I'm sitting in my kitchen, and I'm looking at a bag of Oreos. We played a game at my house the other night when all my family was here with the cookie face of moving the Oreos down your face. It's on my Facebook. It's pretty funny. And I'm looking at this rest of the bag of Oreos.
Right.
Now, I know that they're not healthy, and
right.
I know I shouldn't eat them. But at any given time, if I walk by the stove, I have the urge to pick up a couple, right?
Right.
That's just junk because it doesn't align with where I'd like to go in my life of losing weight, eating healthy, right, cutting back on some of those refined sugars and carbs and some of those things that everybody knows is right for you or not right for you. So that's just neurological junk. So that's the first step. It's just that thought is neurological junk, that it is what it is. You don't have to ignore it. You just accept it for what it is. And the second thing is not acting on those urges. So
right.
I'm sitting here looking at that bag of Oreos. I know it's just neurological junk because it doesn't align with what I want.
You're not hungry.
I'm not hungry, certainly not hungry. I could walk over and pick it up and act on it, or I can resist that urge.
Right.
And as you resist the urge, and I know this is true because there are other habits in my life I've been able to stop. I am not in recovery for those. I've totally stopped those, and I have no desire for those, right? So I don't say I'm a recovering, you know, former smoker, or I'm a recovering whatever. I just have no desire for that anymore. So I'm not recovering. I've recovered. And so the more that I don't give in to that urge, and I go on about my day, and I realized it was neurological junk. I realized that it was not who I really am, but it was that matter and not my mind. And I go about my day, every time I resist that urge for that thing I don't want, or I go do the thing that I do need to do, like make that step to go to the gym, or park my car further in the parking lot to make those steps, or not have that cigarette, or not have that second glass of wine, whatever the case may be, every time I resist that urge, I'm creating a literal new neuronal pathway and retraining or rewiring my brain for that healthier habit, the thing that I really want in my right mind or my top mind or my high brain, if you will.
Right. Yes.
Every time I do that. And then she says that the third step or the fourth step for her is actually celebrate it. Celebrate the fact that you're able to walk away from that, that you were able to say, you know what, I had that urge. I knew it wasn't the right thing to do. I welcomed the urge and said, you know, that's not really who I am. That's just matter in my brain, and I'm going to choose mind over matter and walk away. And the fact that I was able to do that, now I need to celebrate that. And I absolutely think that that is a path to freedom for many, many people to realize they don't. I mean, I think
well,
it's what's
the old saying? What do they say about that? How long does it take to make something a habit?
Well, they say it's 21 days, but I don't know that breaking a habit is the same as creating a habit, right?
We have to work on that, yes.
And I don't know, you know, right? So I don't claim to know all of those things about the way the brain works for sure. I mean, I'm a nurse, but I've always told people for years I delivered babies, so I work from the opposite end.
That's
it's not
right.
That I claim to know everything about the way the brain works. But I do think that breaking a habit that you've had for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, if you've been a smoker for 40 years, right, probably you're going to have urges a lot longer than 21 days. You know, it may take you months and months to break that. But you should celebrate every time that you're able to not give in to that urge, because the bottom line is it's not who you really are.
It's not who
and
you want to be.
When you start setting goals, we set goals based on our New Year's resolutions, anything, any of those kind of things, positive thoughts on who we really are. Anything that comes up in your brain that does not align with what you want and what you've set out for yourself is neurological junk.
Right. Well, you know, I put this thing on my refrigerator.
What does it matter? You know, you've already smoked for 40 years. You'll probably get lung cancer anyway. Why quit now? Oh, my God. You know, I don't have a lot of pleasures in life. I'm a simple guy. What? Cigarettes give me pleasure. That is all neurological junk. That is
junk.
Just the urge to get you to continue down that path, because that's its job. Its job is to not get you out of your comfort zone, right?
Well, you know, I do little things like, you know, we're always, when you hit 50, you're always on a diet, right? Well, one thing I put on my refrigerator, I wrote it as big as I could. It's like your dream board that we made this year. I put on my refrigerator really big, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Well, and that's really true.
And I open the refrigerator and I say,
I mean, we know that to be a fact, right?
Right.
But then if you're in your right mind, you're in your right mind when you did that, right? Or your high brain. So you put that up because you wake up in the morning and you know, this is what I really want for my life. I want to be healthy. I don't want to be overweight. I want to live a long time. I want to feel, have energy to go and to do, or I don't want that to plague me. I don't want it to be the elephant in the room, I guess you can say. So in your high brain, you put that on. But I bet you 1,000 times a day, though, that matter in your brain or that neurological junk comes along and tries to sabotage that.
Yes.
And the problem is if you keep getting into it, the deeper that neurological path that you've created gets woven or ingrained into that lower brain. But if you stop acting on those urges, you see it's there. Nope, that's not my high brain. That's not what I really want for my life. And you walk away from it and you go about your business. If you keep doing that over and over, you are literally creating a new pathway. And she promises me, this brilliant girl, promises me that if you do it long enough, that those urges will disappear. That if you ignore something long enough, it does go away.
Oh, yes. You know, and I'll tell you something. I mean, we're both from the medical arena. We know I can go to a shrink tomorrow, and he'll prescribe me Prozac or whatever, it's going to make my mind different, right?
Correct.
So we can alter our own brains without doing all that. You know, and that's what I like to stress to people is, well, let's do it the natural, healthy way. I mean, you know, we can go to the diet doctor and get Adipex. And what does it do? It alters our brain and tells us we're not hungry. I don't want a chemical in my body like that. You know what I mean? I want
right.
to be able to learn, how can I do this on my own? How can I do this by myself? I'm the strong one. How do we make
right.
that happen?
But don't you find it so freeing to know, really, now that you can, that you know, and here's one of my favorite sayings, and I think this is one of the things, one of my key core philosophies. If it's been done before, it's humanly possible to do it again.
Amen.
And yeah. I don't care if somebody, if a human has accomplished it before, it can be accomplished by you, too. You're no different.
You're
I mean,
no different.
It is different if you truly are in a wheelchair or you truly are handicapped and your legs do not work. You cannot run a mile. I mean, if you can't walk a step, you can't run a mile. But if you can stand up and you can walk one step, chances are you can train your body and your brain to run a mile.
Connie, well, I'm a living example of that.
Yes, you are.
I
think that this information is life-changing for people, and I think that it is a lot to digest, okay? So let me start there, too. It's a lot for people that are listening to this philosophy or listening to this, you know, it's really medical information is what it is. You're listening to this for the first time and thinking, I mean, gosh, there are really 10 parts of the brain, but you're only talking of two. one is mind, one is matter. I really can retrain the matter to get what my mind wants.
Get rid of the junk.
I mean, really, to get rid of that junk.
Yeah.
And it's not even necessarily to, because you don't want to ignore it. And I think this is what she told me yesterday. So many people, when they're on a diet or they're trying to change a habit they have or they want to improve something in their life, every time those thoughts come up, they try to get rid of it. And she said, why do that? It's there for a reason. Why can't you just accept it and realize you don't have to act on it? And I thought, you know what? You know what I think of, and this is going to be funny, but it's the truth. I think of the show, of the movie Fried Green Tomatoes, when Kathy Bates rammed that car in the parking lot.
Right.
That was a case of neurological junk that she acted on.
That's exactly right.
We have all had the urge to choke our husband, slap our children, tell our best friend off, cuss our boss out, ram the car that pulled out in front of us. We have urges all day long, but that's not who you really are,
exactly.
And you don't have to act on that.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
So this is the same way. That person that you walk around with is not really who you are. You've just let that person kind of reign for so many years, or that smoker or that alcoholic or whatever the case may be. You know who you really are in the essence of your mind and who you are.
Well, you know, at 50 years old,
act on those primitive urges.
Exactly. You know, at 50, I guess for me, like at 50, you know, I just look. We talked about this earlier. Is you wake up with this realization that, you know what, this is crazy. I'm going to be the captain of this ship. I'm going to be in charge of me. And you know, and we are our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
We are our own worst enemy. I'm my own worst critic. I mean, you know, I
mean. And Cindy, that saying you just said, I am my own worst critic.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about that saying?
Go ahead and enlighten
because
me.
Because the I is your matter, and the my or the me is your brain.
Right.
Have you ever thought about that? Isn't that brilliant?
That is brilliant.
How many people go around saying, I am my own? Well, why would you speak to yourself that way? That's
right.
Because you automatically know, really, there are two parts of your brain. There are literally two people inside there, right? And through the mind over matter. And let me talk about these again before we have to end the show today. But let me talk about these. So the first is realizing anything that doesn't align with who you sat down in the quiet of your kitchen with a cup of coffee and you wrote down the things that you want or the things you'd like to change, that's who you really are. Anything that comes into your brain that doesn't align with that is neurological junk. It is in the matter. It's the low part of your brain. It's your old habits trying to keep them. It is the primitive brain. It's the let's keep things the way they are. Let's don't create anything new. Its job is to keep you where you are in your comfort zone.
That's where fear is.
That high brain wants to move forward. That
right.
High brain or the mind up top is really who you are, and that's what wants to change those habits. So you view them as neurological junk. You view them as just what they are. Then when you don't act on those urges, you resist those urges to drink or to smoke or to eat something you know that you don't want or that doesn't align with your goals. And then you celebrate the fact that you didn't do it. You celebrate the fact that you were able to start retraining your brain to stay the path that you really want to go to reach the goals that you have for yourself. And the basis of all of that is thoughts or things. What thoughts are things? What you put out in the universe does come to be. So you put out in the universe those things you want. Now you have some tools at the very basic to start with and to kind of start thinking about. Cindy, you asked what I'd like out of this. I'd like to start a group. I'd like to start a coaching call once or twice a week in the mornings where we can talk about these things or we can all, you know, hundreds of women maybe. I'd like to start a coaching call on this. So
well, you know what we'll do? I'll go ahead and get our Facebook out there, and you guys just join on our page and like it and share it with all your friends. And always our sessions will be recorded, so you can snuggle up at night and listen to them by yourself or in the car or whatever. You know, we'll get it where you can listen to it later. And I'll tell you, we're just here to empower women. We want to empower women. I mean, men, we just want to empower people. We're dream seekers, and we think we're never old enough to, or too old, I should say, to be who we're supposed to be.
Our goal is to always help you be who you were destined to be, and that in that high brain, in that person that God called you to be, and to use your God-given talents. Till next time.
We love you guys.